Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers. Welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and Rick and Ed aren't with us this evening. So this evening what we're going to be doing after we take care of a few things is we're going to listen to a sermon that I gave a couple of months ago, and hopefully you'll get a blessing from that. But before we begin, I would like to thank Ray Powers for all that he does here on New Visions Radio, for keeping our program going week after week, even on the weeks when we haven't been able to be here. Ray has taken care of us. He's made sure that you've had programming running, and he'll rerun some of the older ones. I realize that we've been running them for a while, but we appreciate your patience with us. And Ray, thank you so much for keeping us on the air. You know, we've been a part of the New Visions Radio family since they started, and I'm just so glad to be here each week. And you can catch us here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're just so grateful to be a part of this family and to be able to broadcast a little bit of God's Word each and every week to those of you who want to hear it. So just a few announcements I'd like to make. You know, at Prophecies of Hope, every year we have a Bible series, and this year in 2022 is no different. If you're listening to this and it's recorded, I apologize for you missing this, but this is actually the week of September the 25th, and on the 28th, 29th, and 30th of this month, September 28th, 29th, and 30th, 2022, had to think about the year for a minute, we are doing a Bible series. And in that Bible series, the topics we'll be covering is revealing the truth about death, that'll be the first night, revealing the truth about hell, that'll be the second night, and revealing the truth about the rapture. And I hope you will join us for that, because these will be approximately an hour long. We'll be streaming them live on prophecyhope.com. Hopefully you will come and visit, and if you're in the area, or you can live stream that event. We will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Time each night. And then we will round that out on the weekly Sabbath. We come together for worship, and we will have a final sermon Sabbath morning at 11 a.m. That's Eastern Time. Now, when I say the Sabbath, most of you who are listeners for a long time realize that we believe the Sabbath is the seventh day according to the Bible. So every Sabbath or every Saturday morning, beginning at 9:30, we have what we call a Sabbath school. And we have, it's actually a Bible study time. And you can stream that live right on the air there on the internet at prophecyhope.com. Also, we have a worship service that begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and that's every Saturday right here in Stanton, Virginia. Now, if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, you can find us at 1743 West Beverly Street. We would love to have you stop and visit. And we also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesday nights. Now, since Rick and Ed aren't with us this evening, we're going to listen to a sermon that I gave a couple of months ago, and it's entitled, Bear One Another's Burdens. And in this sermon, we're going to examine what the Bible says about helping others in times of need and how to deal with disagreements among the brothers in the congregation, between brethren, the brothers and sisters. So hopefully you'll get some good information from this. Hopefully it'll help you in your ministry and your church and deal with brothers and sisters that you have to deal with. And even in your everyday life, I hope that this sermon will help. But you know, before we get started, we always like to have a prayer before we begin any kind of service. And I would like to bow our heads and have a prayer together. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you for this time that we could carve out of the day to set aside this time to open your word, the Bible, and just learn more about you and your son and how you would handle situations. Father, please be with us as we listen. Please guide and direct us in our everyday life. We ask for your spirit now, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, before I play the sermon for you, each week we have a scripture reading that goes along with the sermon, and we have someone read that scripture reading before the sermon is given. And that reading comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And here's what it says from the New King James Bible. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So friends, I'm going to get started because the sermon's about 48 minutes long, and we're going to come back for just a few concluding remarks when we're done. Again, the title is Bear One Another's Burdens.
When you think of bearing a load, it's not very pleasant sometimes. If I have to carry something, sometimes you can carry something, it can be not very heavy, but it's just so awkward. It's just so big, and it just, you just need the help of another. And it's not always the weight of something that's the problem. It can be the size, the immensity of it that makes it seem impossible to move, impossible to carry. And sometimes just by another person coming and just picking up a little bit, bearing that load, bearing that burden, it can take a lot of stress off of you. And really, that's what this is about today, bearing one another's burdens. How do we do that? You know, a true friend to somebody, it's unconditional friendship is. Many times, coming from various backgrounds, some of us come from a background where if you don't believe like someone else, well, your friends might go away. That can be in a religious setting. It can be a political setting. You might have a different political view than someone, and that can cause division and cause who you thought were your friends to disagree with you. It could be something even over a moral issue. It might be something that you feel, you know what the Bible says, and you feel a certain sense of morality, and because you express that to another, they can be offended by that. And they can say, well, you know, if you don't believe what I believe, then I don't want anything to do with you because I want to continue to live this way. How do we deal with those situations? Does a true friend allow things like this to separate us from helping another, from doing good to others, from loving another person, from treating them with honor and respect, and for being grateful that we have people around us that in times of trouble or times of need that we can depend on? That's what a true friend is. Whether you agree or disagree on everything or not, true friendship, it's difficult to find in this world. It really is. This world is so divisive in so many ways. And even in disagreements, friends can have different opinions, they can disagree, but they don't allow that to separate them. They stay close in spite of that. You know, I have experienced this. I have experienced people who I thought were my friends that left because I thought something different than they thought. Maybe there was someone that I liked that they didn't like. Maybe it was something that I believed that they didn't believe. It can be a number of things. But, you know, Proverbs says this. I want to show you this on the PowerPoint. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And that's talking about a fleshly brother. You know, siblings are typically pretty close. I mean, sometimes you have problems, but, you know, I know that if my brother and I, my brother Russ and I, are close enough that no matter what we disagree on, if I called him and said, "I need your help with this," or "I have to carry this," or "I have this problem and I need your help," he would drop whatever he was doing and he would be there. Well, this is saying that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, where is that friend? How do I find that friend? What does this mean? How can I find the friend that will stick closer to a brother? Because let's face it, sometimes your siblings, you know, we don't know when our demise is. Our sibling might pass away, and now I may not have a brother now. So where's that friend that sticks closer than a brother? Well, I will tell you that I have had friends that I thought were my good friends that left me over certain things, whether it was belief or opinions or whatever. But I have found right here in this fellowship friends that I know are my friends because we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've gotten angry here or there, we've disagreed on things, but we've never allowed that to come between us. How do you get to that point? Well, I'm hoping that through these scriptures that we're going to look at today, that it will help you to get to the point to where these things can happen and not cause division. And this can root all the way down to even in your personal life at home with your family. These relationships that we're talking about, it's not just for friendships. This can be in the family arrangement as well. So, you know, it's easy to talk about these things when you've experienced it. And it's not always easy to go through when you're experiencing it. It's very difficult sometimes. But let's begin. Well, before I take you to the next Bible text, just something that that I've noticed. This is just me personally. I don't know, most people probably feel this way. But I find it easy to help people and stand up for people and do good to those who do good to me. It makes it very easy. But if somebody rubs me the wrong way, it can cause me to start thinking differently about that person. How do I get to the point to where that doesn't happen? That's what we want to learn today as well. You know, bearing the burdens of those who are close friends is easy, but when somebody rubs me wrong, it's not so easy. And I think that's just the nature that we are. So no matter what people have done, no matter how close they are, there's going to be a disagreement somewhere along the line. Something's going to happen. But what about the person who rubs us wrong that maybe we don't have a good relationship with, and those that we do? How do we deal with it? Let's begin by looking at Galatians chapter 6. Brother Rick actually read the scripture reading, and he read the first two verses there. Galatians chapter 6. And I'm just going to read several verses here. We're going to begin in verse 1. Now, it's interesting, in my Bible, mine has little headings in this particular Bible, this New King James Version, and it says, "Bear and share the burdens." That's the heading. So keep that in mind as we read through the first few verses here. It says, "Brethren," in verse 1, "if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So I want you to notice that this is talking about somebody who is overtaken by sin. Sometimes when somebody does something or they do something wrong, we have the tendency to maybe want to pull away from them. Isn't that when they might need us the most? Isn't that when they need the encouragement the most? Do I pull away from somebody because, oh, well, he's doing this or that? Or how do I deal with that? That's what we want to go through today. Not only how to make our relationships closer. Notice verse 2 again. It says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Well, if you back up to chapter 5, just above this in my Bible, if I go to chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 13, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's summing up the law of Christ. It's about love. And again, I get this so many times, well, that's the law of Christ. What about the law of God? Well, the law of God is what this is a reflection of, because the law of God is all about love. Remember in the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are about love of God. The last six commandments are about love of neighbor, those around us. So if we fulfill that, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. So back to chapter 6, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens." Well, I've got my own burdens to bear. I don't want to bear yours too. Sometimes I feel that way. But what's that mean? It means I need an attitude adjustment. You see? And I need prayer for that. Because sometimes what happens is I get so bogged down with, I feel like, wow, I'm taking on everybody's burdens. But you know, if we have Christ on our side, he takes that yoke and he makes it light. And sometimes we forget that. We think, I've got to deal with this all on my own. It's only me. It's only me. Why is everybody after me? That's the world we live in. It's a self-centered world, and we might feel that way sometimes. So again, verse 2, chapter 6 of Galatians, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So I have to take the emphasis off of me and reflect and help others. Stop looking at myself and thinking, woe is me. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Verse 6, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And sometimes we'll look at somebody and say, well, you did it to yourself. You know, I've said that to people. That's what this is saying. You reap what you sow. But at that time, do I really need to say that to them? Sometimes it feels good to say that to somebody when you've been telling them over and over and over. You really, you know, this is what's going to happen. And then when it happens, you did it to yourself. But in preparing for the sermon, I realized, you know, that's not the best choice of words. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I should feel the burden. Maybe I should recognize how patient was God with the Israelites over and over and over and over and over. And I mean, it just goes on and on. It's unbelievable. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to only those who are our close friends, only those who we like, only those who don't make me angry. It's interesting. It says, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Well, usually those who are of the household of faith are the ones that I like, right? Those are the ones that we're closest to. But sometimes, because we're together a lot, certain things might agitate one or the other. So we have to be especially aware of those who are very close to us, because sometimes we think, well, they'll understand because they know who I am. And a lot of times that's the case. But sometimes I might say something and I don't mean it a certain way and I just rub somebody wrong. And that can happen. And these are areas where we can really, really take these verses and just study through them and find a good self-examination. You know, how can I benefit from this? You know, the Apostle Paul shows that we can be diverse yet unified. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just a couple of books before this one. And I'm going to begin here in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So we see here a tremendous unity. Verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So this is talking about there's tremendous diversity in the house of God, in the family of God, in the world today. You know, we can apply this outside. You know, people have different thoughts, but we make a community If we live next to somebody, we have to learn to function with that person, regardless of the differences. So within the congregation or within the church, this is saying that, look, just because you might feel like you're a little finger or a pinky toe doesn't mean that you're any less valuable than the arm. We work together. I've used this illustration before. My father-in-law had to have a toe amputated, a small toe. And that threw him off balance until he learned all over again how to walk. So when we're together in the body of Christ, and one of those members that might feel insignificant is missing, it affects the rest of the body. We all struggle because now we've got to catch our balance and fill that spot that that brother or sister isn't here to do. And we're all different. This is telling us that there's diversity within the body. Each has its own, his own responsibility. Notice verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Verse 21 continues, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. This is the attitude we need. You know, we look around and we see people. Sometimes we might, even in the world today, we might see somebody standing on the corner. Well, we don't know what their circumstances are. Sometimes I've been trained to have preconceived ideas. And today, let's face it, we don't know who is really there because they have to be and who's not. I don't know whether to give them something or not. I don't know what they're going to do with it. So pray about those things. Pray that God will give us the insight to know when to and when not to. Just like we speak about what to say and what not to say. When do I help and when do I not help? Brother Ed had that conversation the other day. Somebody was passing by and we just kind of looked at each other. What do we do? What do we do? Give them the benefit of the doubt and be kind and courteous and make an offer. And we made an offer, and the person rejected the offer because they were looking for something specific. Well, that automatically says they didn't really want the help. They were looking for something specific. But we were trying to help that person carry the burden, but sometimes we don't know how to do it. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, if you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And we look at this sometimes and we say, well, that was then. No, this is speaking of now also. It's speaking of now also. Every person has a different responsibility. And just because somebody is doing something that may not be in front of everyone doesn't mean that their responsibility is any less important. Somebody might be qualified to be able to teach or preach or do certain things. It doesn't mean that somebody who isn't doing those things are any less important than that other person because they can uplift the body. You know, there are responsibilities and things that take place right here, and nobody ever sees the people doing those things. All they see is what takes place up front and around the table, but they don't see all the other little things that are taking place during the week and that surround the Sabbath, and then what goes on back in the AV booth and all of these things that take place every single week. It's all important. And even when it talks about teachers and miracles and healings and helps, varieties of tongues, let's not misunderstand tongues. It's not confusion. Tongues will be understood. If I say something in the English language and someone needs to hear that in their native tongue, they will hear it even though I'm speaking English. We see that in the book of Acts. We see that happen. And I believe these miracles can happen today, just as they did in the days that Paul was penning these words, because we are still living in Bible times. We're still living in Bible times. So let's finish out this chapter. Verse 29 says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." So, earnestly desire the best gifts. It means just reach out. See if you can do more for people. See what we can do for one another. That will draw us closer together, and that helps to carry the burdens of another. Sometimes I'll be doing something and I can't think of something, and somebody, whether it's here or elsewhere, will say something, and that's exactly what I needed to hear to help me to do that. So let's take a look now. Let's just look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Remember, we're talking about bearing the burdens of another. Bearing the burdens of another. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read through this for context. Let's just start right in verse 1. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." You notice, God gives you faith. That's what this says. Did you catch that? God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So when somebody says, "I don't have faith," well, you have it. You're just not recognizing it yet. God gives to each one a measure of faith. And that faith can grow depending on how we feed it, how we fill our minds and what we put into our minds and what we think and who we're around. Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." So just because you're part of a body doesn't mean that God doesn't pay attention to you as an individual. If you've ever hurt your finger or smashed it, you're very aware that that finger exists, and everything you touch, now you're aware of that finger. So sometimes when someone gets hurt, God becomes very aware that that person's hurt, and he wants us to reach out and nurture, just like we bandage this finger and we protect it. We have to protect that person. We have to look out for them, for one another. Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." I look around this little tiny fellowship and I see, whether it's online with the people on Zoom, I see gifts in those people and I see things that they can do and points that they bring out and their personalities, and it draws me closer to them because of the type of person they are. And right here in this little room that we're in this sanctuary, I see gifts in each one. And, you know, the thing that I'm the worst at is hospitality. I'm not very hospitable. But Sister Mary always makes up for that deficiency, and I think she has to work overtime to make up for my deficiency of hospitality. We had somebody walk in this past Wednesday night, and I just came in and plopped down and was paying attention to the study, and what does she do? "Do you need something to drink?" And she goes over and she makes sure, "Let me get you a Bible," you see, making up for the deficiency. And she does it without being upset about it, because she knows this poor guy doesn't get it. He's just got... And this is how we help one another. This is how we help one another. And I'm trying to be more cognizant of those things. And so sometimes when that happens, it's not on purpose. It's just, I grew up in a family where, and growing up as a kid, mom took care of all of the waiting on people and taking care of them. And even as a husband, my wife, she takes care of me. She does that. So we all have our strengths and weaknesses. Verse 9, we can't stop here. We have to look at this a little further because notice what it says. Romans 12:9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly, affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. There's that word, hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Easier said than done to bless those who persecute you. But Jesus said these words. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. What's that mean? Even if you disagree with someone, you can be peaceable with them. Even if they're living a debauched life, you can be peaceable with them. Even if they're doing things completely opposite of what the Bible says, you can be peaceable with them. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it's unfortunate. Some people, when they read this text in verse 20, where it says, by treating your enemy with love, basically is what it's saying. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. And it says, for in doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Some people think that that's a spiteful thing, but that's not what Paul is saying at all. He's saying that it can help to refine them, just like putting coals, you know, when they in a refinery, I understand that they'll put coals on top of the metals and it brings out the impurities. And that's what this is talking about, bringing out the impurities. It can help them to be changed by treating them with the kindness that Christ would treat us. Jesus' words, let's take a look at that because Paul was quoting Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 7, let's just look at them so we can, we've read this many, many times. Matthew chapter 7. And beginning in verse 1, Jesus' own words, he says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So he doesn't say don't judge. He doesn't say you can't judge, don't judge. But he's saying whatever judgment you give, you better be ready to receive that same judgment. So that might make you think twice before you judge someone as this way or that way. Verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So again, we see everything points back to the law. Everything points back to the way God laid things out originally, how we should treat people, the love that we should have. When someone sins against us personally, many of us will go tell other people about it. Sometimes within a church setting, the church that I grew up in, what would happen if somebody did something wrong to me, the person was taught, well, you go to the church elders and you tell them about it. But what does the Bible say? How does the Bible say to handle things like this? Do we get the leaders of the church involved if somebody wrongs me or sins against me? Let's look at Matthew chapter 18 and just see what Jesus said to do in this situation. Somebody does something wrong to me. How do I handle this? Do I tell other people about it? Well, Matthew chapter 18 clears that up for us. Beginning in verse 15, Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go tell everybody." No, he says, "Go and tell him his fault between who? You and him alone." So you go to that person individually. If he hears you, it says, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you two or more, one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So first, before you approach the brother or sister who might have wronged you, I would suggest that we pray about it and we ask God to give us direction and how to, maybe words to say, how to deal with it, what to do. And then you go directly to that person. You go directly to that person. And if they don't hear you, then you would take someone with you. That's what this is saying. And these things should be done not just for self-gratification, but all should be done to the glory of God. That's the way it should always be done. And I think the point that we're making here too, when we read through this, when it says to treat him, when it says in verse 17, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen or a tax collector. It doesn't mean that we would cut that person off. Because if a tax collector has to collect money from me, am I going to avoid him? I better not. I'll end up in jail, right? So we treat them, in other words, if they continue in that sin, they keep doing things that are wrong, then we need to limit the association outside of the walls of the church. But when they come through that door, they're coming into the church. We need to treat them as brothers and sisters, allowing them the freedom to be able to be who they are, yet not bring the church into a place where it's going to be professing or propagating immorality or something of that nature. But remember, all of these things, when we approach that person, it's not just about exonerating ourselves or getting right with them. It should all be done to the glory of God. In fact, let's just take a look real quick. We'll see this. And there we go. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 4 points this out. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to begin in verse 7. We're just going to read a few verses here. 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 7. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted. 1 Peter, I'm in chapter 3, no wonder. And I looked, I said, no, that's not, I'm not talking about husbands here. It's chapter 3, 7. Chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when we're approaching someone in anything, it should be about glorifying God. And we need to approach them, as always, we need to pray about it first. We should always pray about these things. And we should pray that we have an honest evaluation of things, because sometimes my thinking can get in the way. I might perceive something a certain way. And then when you approach that person who perceivably sinned against you, and they explain, you say, wow, that was a complete misunderstanding. And having an honest evaluation of things, we can find that in our last text today. And that's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 helps us in dealing with this. And I really debated on how much of this I should read, because there's so much information here to help us in this regard. I'm going to begin in verse 25. It says, therefore, Ephesians 4:25, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Remember I said when we approach that person, we might perceive things a certain way. Well, perception isn't necessarily truth, so we have to understand it. It says, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So if you have a problem with your brother or your sister or your husband or your wife or your neighbor or your cousin, whoever it is, try to settle it as soon as possible. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. So if I let it stew or I let it rest too long, the devil's going to creep in and he's going to cause me to have thoughts. Isn't that what happens typically? When we put something off, we build it all up, we make this whole big production out of it, and then once we do it, it's like, oh, that wasn't anything like what I thought it was going to be. The outcome was completely different. So when we put things off sometimes, and if we, especially if we like verse 1, if we embellish or lie, if we're not speaking truth with one another, it's going to mess things up. We have to be honest. We have to be up front. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow, what a trick that is. How do I forgive others the way Christ forgives me? But that's what this is calling us to do. That's what this is calling us to do. Bitterness, wrath, anger, all of those things need to be put away. So, you know, if you have time in your personal study, it's beautiful to read chapter 5, particularly verses 1 through 21. In fact, let's just scan through that just for a couple of minutes. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, because this teaches us how to walk in love, how to walk in light, and how to walk in wisdom. What would we call that? Walking with God. You know, our opening hymn was in the garden, right? He walks with me and he talks with me. That's what Ephesians 5 is talking about. Let's take a look. Therefore, in verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. So our close associates are very important, people that we keep nearest to us. And it's important that if we see them doing any of these things, that we point it out to them in a loving and kind way. We go to that person. We don't tell everybody else about it. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable in the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's not always easy, friends, when we have to point out things in this politically correct world. It's really hard to do sometimes, but we must. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, or in other words, exactly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So part of bearing the burdens of one another is a form of submission to one another, recognizing that we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. And when we see somebody burdened down with something, let's try to help them bear it. We need to pray for them. We can study with them. We can share Bible verses with them. We can share our personal testimony with them. You know, while I might not know exactly how you feel, I went through something similar. Here's what happened to me. You see? Those personal testimonies, all of these things are ways we bear one another's burdens. And, you know, we have such a tendency to want to isolate people. This world is so divisive, and we just want to I'm just cutting them off because of this or that. Well, there might come a time that you have to back away from someone, but no matter what that choice is in your mind, we must treat them with love and with respect, and we should always make it to where they feel like we can be approachable and where they're always welcome through that door and able to come back in at any time and fellowship at any time. So some beliefs are very rigid and they want to cut people off. And that's the beauty of this fellowship. There's no test of fellowship here. If someone wants to come in and have fellowship, they're welcome to come. And they're welcome to be here. And we will always try to uplift them in a spiritual way. And our experience has been that when people come, if they believe things that maybe aren't according to what we understand the Bible to say, we study it together. If they accept it, they do. And if they don't, typically they just won't come anymore. But I can't think of anyone who has been here and stopped coming who, if they walked in the door, we wouldn't say, hey, it's great to see you. This is how we work in our relationships. Somebody wrongs you, always try to treat them right. If somebody's burdened down with something, it might be something that you're not even familiar with, try to hear them, listen to what they say. And that's something that I really have needed help with, especially because, you know, I love to preach. preach. I love to teach. And one of the things over the past 7 or 8 years that I've learned more than ever is sometimes I have to just be quiet and hear the question, hear what the person's saying, try to understand it more clearly. So our scripture reading today was Galatians 6. That's where we started. Let's go back there. I've got it in the PowerPoint. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So I want you to notice it says, any trespass. That includes anything that they've done. You know, we have a tendency to rank sin, and we'll put one here, one there, and we'll say, oh, well, this is worse than that. Sin is sin. So any trespass. And it says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. But notice, he points the finger back at himself, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Sometimes you might think, well, I'm spiritually strong. Oh, no. You might be spiritually strong, but it doesn't mean that the devil can't crack through there and force his way in. So we have to be willing and ready to acknowledge our weaknesses, and where we may, in helping that other, we might be looking at them like, this poor soul, we could be that poor soul. And that's what this is telling us. So that's why we bear one another's burdens in verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So get down in the trenches with your brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes people will call and they'll tell me of some of the things that are going on in their life. And sometimes after listening to some of those things, I think, boy, you know, I thought that I had it bad in this one particular area. And it makes me really feel for that person. It can burden you a little bit. But typically, you know, after that person has talked about it, it's like a weight's lifted. Sometimes just being that hearing ear. And again, consider yourself, lest you be tempted, because it can weigh you down. So we need that outlet of brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to bear the burdens of one another. Help one another. Help each other to bear the burdens. And this will draw the body of Christ, whether it's here or anywhere around the world, through Zoom meets, through your friendships with people that are not within the body of Christ. If they see us treating one another that way, and they see the example, and we treat them with that same love and respect, they can be one without a word, the Bible tells us. What a wonderful thing that would be, to see people flocking into the belief of the Father and Son just through the way that they were treated by others. So hopefully you will take heed to some of these things. There are so many more verses I could have shared. There were dozens. And I just wanted to show you these because it seems that Paul, in dealing with the churches, these issues were going on. And guess what? These things still go on in churches today. And if we just go back to the basics, go back here, and quit making a mountain out of this little tiny molehill, right? And we have a tendency to do that. So I hope that this helps you to know better how we can help others, how we can hear them. This is something that I personally need to work on. I want you to know that most of the sermons that I give when I'm talking about these things, it's because they've hit me right between the eyes. And I realized I have to work on this myself. So pray for me, and I will continue to pray, that we can all bear the burdens of others.
Well, friends, every time I give a sermon, I always hope that it will benefit people in some way. You know, this sermon helped me to re-examine myself and take a look at a few things. And like I said there at the concluding part, every sermon I give helps me to do a self-examination. And I hope that it helps you to be able to maybe look at yourself and look at others in a different way. You know, God's Word is very powerful. And when we apply these things in our lives, what a difference it can make. But I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you got a blessing from it. And I just wanted to make a couple of announcements here at the end of this broadcast, I wanted to tell you that if you want to get in touch with me, my email is mark@prophecyhope.com. If you'd like to get in touch with Rick, his email address is rick@prophecyhope.com, and Ed is ed@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, that's no problem. You can just send us an email at office@prophecyhope.com, and we will try to answer your Bible questions online. If you don't want your name used, we will not use it. And we usually do not use a name unless somebody says that they would like to have their name used. So just send those questions in. We'd love to answer them from the Bible. We don't have all of the answers, but we certainly know the Bible does. And we want to look to that. We want to look to God's Word for any answers that we have to the questions that we have, especially the important ones in life. One last announcement that I'd like to make is I want to remind you that we are having a Bible series beginning this week. This broadcast is taking place September 25th, 2022, and we will be broadcasting a special Bible series the 28th, 29th, and 30th of September 2022 at prophecyhope.com. That will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I hope you will join us for the live stream. If you're in Stanton, Virginia, please come by the church. We'd love to see you, 1743 West Beverly Street. And one last reminder is you can join us each week for worship at prophecyhope.com. We stream it live. We have Sabbath school in the mornings, Sabbath morning or Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m., and our worship begins at 11 a.m. We also have a midweek Bible study. We would love for you to join us on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Now, that we do not stream, but if you're in the Stanton, Virginia area, please pay us a visit. We would love to see you. So let's have a prayer together before we sign off. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for every gift you've given us, especially the gift of your Son, Jesus. May we apply the counsel, Father, to bear one another's burdens, to be patient, loving, and kind with each other. Please be with us until we come together again. We thank you for every gift, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friends, we hope to see you here next week, 7 p.m. Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.